between Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, let's start first with the State Department. 4 years is a long time. What's been going on there?
Well, actually, that's a great question. It's a question that came up during the hearing yesterday of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee many, many times. And the answer is nobody really knows. There's not a good answer. The State Department says ask the White House. The White House sent me a statement that, well, is pretty vanilla. This comes from a White House spokesman's email, and I'll read it just directly. The administration is committed to strong inspectors general, and we are working diligently to identify highly qualified candidates to fill the important posts. The administration supports the work and commitment of all IG offices, including those currently being led by acting IGs, as they strive to ensure that taxpayers are getting the good government they deserve. Now, you can read through the lines there. Basically, they said nothing. Now, there's no mention of progress. There's no mention of plans. And all of that is frustrating lawmakers. Congressman Dan Burton is one of those frustrated members of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
The thing I can't understand is the president makes a recommendation to the Senate, and the Senate reviews that, the proper committees, and then they either confirm him, the full Senate, or they reject them. The Senate does not have the opportunity to rule on that or to make a judgment unless it's submitted to them. I just don't understand why, at this point, we still have these people that are in acting positions after 3.5 years.
Now, in fact, there are 10 vacancies across government, including the Departments of Homeland Security, Labor, and Defense. 4 of those IG posts that are vacant have been vacant for more than 1,000 days. State, Interior, and Labor have all been open for more than 3 years. Now, 2 of them are making a little bit of progress. The Homeland Security Department and the Corporation for National and Community Service nominees are awaiting Senate confirmation. But the other 8 are really up to the White House to get the process started. Now, there's one aside that came from this hearing yesterday that I think is very important to point out, because there's been a lot of concern about this IG vacancy issue, especially after the Project on Government Oversight issued their report a few months back. Now, Elijah Cummings is the ranking member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He says, listen, the number of vacancies in the 4th year of the Obama administration is about the same as the number of vacancies in the 4th year of the Bush administration. So we're talking about 2004. So he's saying history shows vacancies are not that unusual. Continuing resolutions, very much like continuing resolutions, everybody learns to live with them whether they like it or not.
All right, Jason, the question then becomes is what is the impact on these agencies like state that don't have the permanent IGs?
I think that was part of the reason the hearing was held yesterday. And what some lawmakers are finding out is the impact is much less than many would think. For instance, I spoke with the state IG spokesman after the hearing who said that the number of investigations and audits from that office are up by 56% between 2008, when the last permanent IG left, to 2011. Now, the state's budget also is up from $59 million in 2011 to more than $66 million in the 2013 budget request. In fact, across government, IG budgets are about the only thing that is kept, that is going up when it comes to the budget. Danny Werfel is the controller of the Office of Management and Budget. He testified yesterday. Werfel says the IGs have been spared from budget cuts faced by other discretionary spending. And across government, IGs are expected to receive about $2.7 billion in 2012 and about the same in the request for 2013. Congressman Danny Davis offered this example of the effectiveness of an acting IG.
The Department of Homeland Security currently has an acting IG named Charles Edwards. Before he assumed his post, recovered funds were $3.7 million in fines. Savings and administrative cost savings were $6.5 million. After he assumed his post, these amounts increased to $19.9 million and $20.5 million, respectfully. My point is not that he's doing something substantially different than his predecessor, although that may be true. My point is that the IG offices are made up of thousands and thousands of dedicated workers who devote their professional careers to this.
Now, Davis, the Democrat from Illinois, says the acting IG for Interior has similar impressive results, leading the case against the now-defunct Mineral Management Service. The acting IG also has suspended or debarred 78 different contractors. So what Davis is basically saying is, and this is his words, the proof of the pie is in the eating, meaning if the person is doing a good job, there's no reason to suggest they will not continue to do a good job. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean there aren't advantages to having a permanent IG. And I don't think anyone is saying, oh, we don't want to have a permanent IG. What I think they're trying to make their case is saying, listen, the acting IGs are doing a really nice job. Now, Jake Wines is an investigator with the Project for Government Oversight.
One structural advantage of permanent IG leadership involves independence. Another advantage of permanent IG leadership involves credibility. Both of those qualities can have a huge determinant on the effectiveness or lack thereof of a particular IG office.
Now, I've also talked to former IGs, and they say that an acting IG, there's also some other challenges for them. They may be interested in the job, and since they have to be recommended by the head of the agency, they don't want to basically do something that could embarrass the secretary or hurt their chances to be the permanent IG. So right then and there, the acting is in a tough situation. So again, I'm not going to say anyone thinks that no one needs a permanent IG, but this idea that the lack of a permanent IG somehow stops the office from doing their job, I think the congressman made their big case saying, no, that is not the case.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio reporter Jason Miller. So, Jason, you just mentioned that agencies are the ones that are responsible. Agency leaders are responsible for recommending somebody to be this permanent IG. Explain to us exactly who is responsible for what part of this nomination process, the White House, the Senate, the House, the agencies themselves?
Right. So it usually starts in two places. There's an IG council, council made up of IGs, and they kind of do the first initial look at candidates. Not all the candidates, but they look at, they if you will, do a very light vetting of some candidates, and it all goes to the White House from there. Now, obviously, the agency head plays a big role in this, and then so once the White House makes their decision and makes their nomination, then it goes to the Senate, then the Senate confirms. The House actually plays no role at all, and that in itself is a little frustrating to House members because they're sitting here seeing the 10 vacancies, they're seeing what they believe is waste, fraud, and abuse, and their hands are tied in terms of what they can do about getting permanent IGs in place. Now, the other thing about the process that's interesting is they were asked yesterday at the testimony, what suggestions they have for the House, basically, and because since the House is not involved in the process, one of the things that came out, which I thought was interesting, was there was broad support for the Data Act, which is something from Congressman Daryl Issa from California. He's the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, as well as the other thing that came out was the requirement for IGs to send annual reports to Congress on recommendations made to their agencies and which ones remained outstanding. What they were saying was both of these are ways to kind of force the Senate, force the White House's hand a little bit to move more quickly and confirm IGs. Now, again, Daryl Issa is the main sponsor of that Data Act. The House passed the bill last month. Senator Mark Warner is the other sponsor, but the Senate has not acted on it yet. Phyllis Fong is the chairwoman of the Council of Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, basically the IG Council, and she's also the Agriculture Department's IG. She says she supports the bill for several reasons.
That includes a number of provisions that would really help IGs in terms of computer matching, data gathering under the Paperwork Reduction Act, and reforming some of the IG Act. We're hoping that those provisions that relate to IG operations will get passed in the Senate as well. Those are things that we have wanted as a community for a number of years.
Now, the White House also has been, let's say, less than supportive of the specific Data Act, but OMB's Werfel says the administration and Congress agree on the need for more transparency and accountability.
A first concern would be the Data Act, as I understand it, would create a new commission. And the question that we have is, in a time where government is looking to streamline the complexity of our bureaucracy, is the way to move forward in enabling transparency is to add an additional layer of potential bureaucracy by creating a new organization? And it's not just that that organization would exist and make government bigger. It's the fact that that organization would have regulatory authority to issue standards. And now, as I'm a recipient already challenged by the complexity of having OMB requirements and agency requirements, and we work hard to try to dovetail those together in an effective way, now you've added potentially a third entity.
Now, ISA pushed back against those concerns of the Werfel expressed, saying OMB and others, if they had done their job, this new commission in the Data Act wouldn't be necessary. OMB had the authority to bring groups together to agree on standards, but ISA says, hey, this just didn't happen, so this is the next step we need to take. Now, Werfel says another administration concern is about the additional reporting burden on agencies, state and local governments, universities, and others in the non-government arena. Again, ICE says, listen, the Data Act will actually consolidate those reporting requirements, obviously making it easier for IGs to look at what people are spending and where the money's going. So in the end, you know, I think that there's definitely some support for the Data Act, and it's a way to give IGs a little more authority, a little more data, if you will, to do their job. So it's going to be interesting to see when the Senate takes up the bill and then what the White House says in their statement of administration policy and where this goes from here.